I hope so. I pray so. For to hold on, to cling to a false or limited view of the facts, to cling to incorrect information, erroneous information, or partial information, can only distort my vision and inhibit really the correct action. You know, mind really has the capability within itself to act. And you can just hear that mind saying, let the actions of my mind take place. Let me create the activities. Let the impulse within me determine the activity. I have to be willing to expose myself then to this truthful, correct information, and to realize that this information, despite the communication channel utilized, comes solely from the divine mind. Mind really has all of that information within itself, every fact, every figure, every calculus within itself. It knows what to do. And I really, really want to be able to trust that. So let me turn only to that mind for the facts. Anyone who's done any laws for any period of time is really, I think, used to doing that. Mind knows, I'll turn to mind. Let me turn to mind for the facts. And let me not feel that I need to inform that all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing intelligence, but truly trust that it does know. No, it doesn't know about my erroneous condition. That's true. It doesn't know about my false concepts. That's true. But it does know what's true. And that's even better. So therefore, why not get rid of my false concepts and turn to that mind and let it tell me what it knows, because what it knows is the truth. And what I think I know is not true and is not correct information. So I ask, then may I be willing to rely, I ask of myself, that is, may I be willing to rely on the superior information of that mind. Let the consciousness of divine ideas be present in me. If the consciousness of those ideas isn't present within me, then it is truly difficult to rely on that mind and to believe that it has the correct information. You're only really going to believe that it has the correct information when you have the consciousness of that mind, when you can feel the consciousness of that mind, when it is really echoing in your consciousness and giving you the correct facts. And I do know that it's possible that I can be informed correctly. And I trust that an infinite, all-perceiving intelligence which knows the seeming need will supply it. As we said, it doesn't really know about a need from the absolute level, but as that echoes in to my experience, it does really know the need, and it really will supply it. If I need correct information, or if I need to know a correct action, it can and will give it to me. And there isn't going to be any kind of dormant mentality that can cause me to misjudge that information. I will be able to recognize a divine idea when it's presented. Have you ever not been in doubt when you got an idea as to whether it came from mind or whether it came from your mind? I have. The only way to check that I know of is to go to mind itself and to just sing that law of mind on any level, but let's say right where we are now in the law of interdependence in the word, just let it echo into your mind and know that the consciousness that is embedded within that intelligence is also embedded within the intelligence of your mind, of my mind, and that it will enable me to recognize if an idea has proceeded from mind or if it hasn't. And you know it's an error-correcting system. So therefore, if you follow through on an idea that has not come from mind, it'll become clear very shortly that it's come from your own personal mind and concepts. For on some deep level, hidden though it may seem, that superior cognition of the true facts is occurring. Somewhere within me, I am reasoning from the standpoint of divine ideas, from the standpoint of mind. Can you just feel this whole place value just really demanding of you? Are you willing to turn to mind? Are you willing to reason from mind and not from your own so-called mortal mind? And in so doing, I have dominion over any thought that could appear to proceed from a lesser source, from a mortal or human mind. I have dominion over the false facts that have been running around in my own so-called mind. And reasoning from cause to effect, I could not inform the cause of false effect, nor would I wish to. You know, when you go out from mind, informing that mind just seems ludicrous. How could I inform an infinite mind of something it already knows? It knows it. All causation I have here is in mind. So let that mind cause the activity of its ideas, and let it stimulate the activity of those ideas within my mind. Which brings us to epitome number 7. A willingness to accept divine blessing by availing ourselves of the divine knowledge of the infinite, of its established rule. You can feel the peace and the presence of love here, mind as love. And I have to ask, am I really willing to avail myself of divine knowledge? Am I really willing to take advantage of the information of an infinite intelligence? Can I yield to the mind that has conceived that knowledge and work out my salvation in accordance with its law? Am I capable of letting go of all of my mortal human concepts, of all my beliefs? That's really a tall order. Am I capable of letting go of all of my beliefs? Can I accept mind's ideational blessing? I hope so. I have here, I pray so. For who would wish to turn away from the effulgence of that light? Who would wish to turn away from the peace of those ideas, from the fulfillment of those ideas, of that information? Can I yield to the mind that has conceived that knowledge and work out my salvation in accordance with its law? Am I capable of letting go? Can I accept that blessing? Can I accept that ideational blessing? I would not deny myself the power of that law, I hope. And I really want to break through the clouds, the mist. I have here the veil of the unknown, until only divine knowledge is perceived, until only divine ideas are recognized, until the law of that mind is established within me. So let the light that is flooding forth from the divine mind fill what appears to be the dark corners of my mind. Sometimes you just feel that your mind is a big vacuum. It's an empty void, and they're just cobwebs running around in it. It's just the counterfeit of mind as love coming up to be handled. It really isn't so. Just let in the light. Just let that light of mind come and fill the dark corners of your mind. Let its brilliant ideas appear in your mind. Let it dispel the ignorance, the darkness that has been there. It bubbles up within, causing me to seek. You can just feel the law coming there. Let there be light, and that light is really being felt within me and causing me to seek, to question, to turn to its overpowering intelligence for ideas. You know, I'm not seeking because I think I don't have something. I'm really seeking because that mind is impelling my search. It is just forever coming forth and coming forth within me. It's just an echoing that's going on, whether I hear it or not, and it's just really saying, and let there be light, and let there be mind, and let there be the intelligence of my ideas. So it is forcing me to turn away from the emptiness of my own mortal thought, of my own so-called brain, of my own mortal mind. It's forcing me to turn and to seek and to question. Its law is guiding my search. and it can be heard echoing, "Let there be light, let there be light." As I say here, may I indeed let there be light. May I indeed let in the light. And may I affirm that light within, trusting that it will wipe away the darkness of ignorance. As I recognize mind's ever-present ideas and the power of its law, my false mentality is fading away. Isn't that fantastic? As I accept that light into my experience, as I accept those ideas into my mind, as I welcome those ideas into my mind, all the illusions, the false concepts, the false beliefs that have been appearing to sit there just vanish, disappear. Like the darkness, when you turn on the light, they weren't there anyway. They just disappear. Divine knowledge is being established in me. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. I no longer feel that I have a mind of my own, a mentality that could conceive apart from the divine mind. What it knows, I know. And if it doesn't know it, I don't know it. I can rest in the creative activity of mind, allowing it to fulfill its promise in me. And I welcome that. I welcome that supreme blessing. Oh, isn't it wonderful? You just feel the flood of that law. You can just hear it echoing. And let there be light. But it's really been saying, and let the mind of my mind appear. Let the spirit of my mind appear. Let the soul of my mind appear. Let the principle, life, truth, and love of my mind appear. And let it bring forth light. Let it bring forth that which it is. So if I turn to that mind and I allow it to mold my desires, if I allow it to purify my motive and to change my false concepts, if I allow it to govern the combinations of ideas that are coming forth, if I allow it to pour forth its infinite abundance of ideas into my experience, if I trust that those are correct ideas, and then accept them and allow them to work, allow the power that is inherent within that idea to go forth and work, how free my mind will be, how creative, how blessed, how at peace. Boy, one could never have a sick mind, an erring mind, an unfulfilled mind, an imperfect mind, a disunified mind. One would be totally unified in concept with mind, for its ideas would be accepted and working in one's mind. I want those ideas to be accepted in my mind. This brings us to the second section in the Epitomes of Prayer, This section represents the Spirit of God making itself known, declaring that which it is, and our approach to that Spirit. The epitome for the entire section reads something like this: prayer consists of the culturing of spiritual qualities in order to more clearly reflect the real essence of the divine being. That is broken into 7 sections also, which equate with spirit is mind, spirit is spirit, spirit is soul, spirit is principle, spirit is life, spirit is truth, and spirit is love. And it will be those place values that we'll be listening to for the rest of the afternoon. The question arises, through which spiritual qualities can this reflection be brought forth? And the first answer, which equates with spirit as mind, through absolute consecration of thought, energy, and desire. And so I'm led to ask myself, have I a willing heart? You can hear from the very first statement that spirit is going to feel very, very different from mind. In fact, spirit is going to be a feel more than something that one perceives in one's mind. Have I a willing heart? Am I ready to embark on a deep inner search, a spiritual quest, consecrating my thought, energy, and desire to this end alone? Separates the men from the boys, right there. A lot of people are very willing to study. But are they really willing to turn within and examine their own being? Are they really willing to go on a spiritual journey? And so I have to question, do I have the courage to journey beyond the laws of matter in order to discover a higher reality? And those are very, very, very big questions and big issues. And I don't know whether any of us could, right off the top of our head, give a, yay, I'm ready. I think one would just really have to be very still and very penetrating and ask oneself truly if one wanted to make that journey and if one was willing to make that journey. I hope that I'm willing, for I long to tap the resources of my inner being. I want to touch into the reservoir of spiritual qualities that lies hidden there. I need to probe the depths of my heart until the sincerity and consecration necessary to my search are discovered. I can't just muster consecration from outside. I can't just tell myself to be consecrated to this study, to this search. I can't just tell myself to do that. I mean, I can tell myself to do that, but that doesn't mean that I'll really be willing to do it. And if I'm not really willing to do it, everything else in creation will get in my way. I'll have one thing after another present itself as something that's more preferable to do. So, I would let the law echo in my consciousness. I want to probe the depths of my heart. I want to be open to that law. I want to hear that spirit of the divine. I want to feel it impel me on my inward journey. And so I have here, let the spirit of the divine being impel me on my journey. Let it filter out any impurity in me that would hold me back. And let me be open to it and allow it to permeate my being until the ability to consecrate is divinely natural. We just have to go to spirit and let the mind of spirit filter in and bring forth that consecration within us. For only then will the potential obstructions not be encountered. If I haven't really been willing to make that decision, if I haven't been willing to turn to that spirit, every obstruction imaginable will present itself to me.